The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the NFL carousel and the start of a week that could change everything. We'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Then, is it time to play Let's Make a Deal for Baker and the Browns? It's a huge decision, and it's not as easy as you think. Plus, it was the dunk that broke the internet. Where does this sensational slam stack up with the best you've ever seen? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now on a Monday from New York. I am Greeny and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Hope you had a great weekend. We're here to talk and we are ready to roll. Take a look at the squad we have ready this morning. Timmy Legler will join us shortly. Kimberly Martin has gotten up early with us this morning. She has the insight. Tim Hasselbeck is going to fling it around. And Mike Tannenbaum is here wheeling and dealing as we go through another week on the quarterback carousel, which has already been busy during this NFL offseason. You know where it started, with the Rams acquiring Matthew Stafford from the Lions for Jared Goff, two first-round picks, and a third-rounder. That was the huge deal there. Goff, the first overall pick in 2016, signed a four-year extension worth $134 million before the 2019 season. Carson Wentz was picked one spot after Goff. Last week, he was traded to the Colts for a third-round pick this year and a conditional two the following year. So it has already been fascinating. But my friends, it is only just beginning. So we have asked everyone on the show today to predict what will be the biggest quarterback headline from this week. And Tim, I'm starting with you. What will be this week's big quarterback story?
Well, how about Marcus Mariota to the New England Patriots? Look, the Patriots love to be value shoppers. Marcus Mariota played really well last year in relief. He's due just $10.5 million, which means he could easily be paired with a young quarterback. And I think it's just his ability as a runner, but also as a passer. I think it would actually be a great fit in New England and makes a lot of sense. There's clearly interest in him around the league.
Yes, I like that call a lot. I want to come back to it because he's a person I think we don't talk nearly enough about. But Kimberly, let me come next to you. What will be the big story this week?
It's not sexy, but it needs to happen. Big Ben restructures his deal with the Steelers. Look, this is a situation where financially, none of the options are really great for the Steelers. If he retires, you cut him, he still counts a ton on the cap. If you sign him, it's still going to be a lot of money. So these two sides need to make it work because I don't know who else is going to be the QB for the Steelers.
Could be a huge sigh of relief by the end of the week in Pittsburgh from a lot of the fans then if that era continues. Meanwhile, speaking of eras that may end, Mike T, what's yours?
Drew Brees officially retires, Greeny. He's already tweaked his contract, which is going to set up some cap relief. But come on, Drew, let's announce it. Everyone knows that it's coming. Let's make it official. And soon thereafter, we have to announce that Jameis Winston will be the starter in the Saints. So Brees retires, Jameis comes on board as the starter.
All right, Kimberly, let me come back to you quickly on that as my insider today. What do we know about the workings down there in New Orleans?
Like Mike said, it's not a matter of if Brees retires. It's just a matter of when he does make the announcement. This is what everybody expected to happen. The question is, we think it's in the next week or two. He's lowered his salary for the year, another domino that would indicate he's close to retiring. So like Mike said, we're just all waiting for the official announcement.
Now that really is the end of an era. Then the question is, are they ready to go with Jameis Winston as their quarterback? They certainly talk like they are now. We will find out one way or the other. So those are the things we might wind up seeing as this week continues. To last week's huge story, which continues to reverberate around the NFL, and that, of course, is Carson Wentz, who arrives in Indianapolis over the weekend to begin the second chapter of his career playing for his former offensive coordinator in Frank Reich. Wentz published a lengthy post on his Instagram account over the weekend, which read in part, "What a journey. To the city of Philadelphia, thank you. On the field, we brought the Lombardi Trophy home to Philly and hopefully brought a lot of joy to the city over the years. Thank you to the Eagles organization for drafting me and making my NFL dream come true. That is notable for a variety of reasons. Among them, we hadn't heard from Carson Wentz in a very, very long time. So, Tim Hasselbeck, haven't had a chance to talk to you since the deal. Let's first guess this. A lot of people are wondering, can Frank Reich unlock Carson? Can he become the MVP candidate that he was once upon a time? Is that what's going to happen this season?
Yeah. I don't think he becomes the MVP candidate, but can he unlock him and get him to play good football again? Absolutely. And the reason I say not an MVP candidate, Greeny, is if they try to kind of put this on Carson Wentz's back, then they're doing it wrong. The team is already built as a good team. They've got one of the best defenses in football. They've got a good runner, and they've got an excellent offensive line. It should really be about, you know, Carson kind of being the last piece to this, where, you know, he's going to a good team. This was the perfect spot for him to go and play well, but that doesn't mean he has to be the guy carrying it at all, because what's been built around him by Chris Ballard and that Colts organization is really, really good already.
So, Mike T, let me then come to you. What is your expectation for him, particularly relative to the new surroundings? He's in a new division, a whole new start. What do you see?
Yeah, I think this is a little bit different than Tim. I think there's some desperation here. I think they negotiated against themselves, giving up two really high picks. And when you look at it, Greeny, in my opinion, they have the fourth best quarterback in the division. Ryan Tannehill has led Tennessee to the number one offense since he's been there. I'm assuming Deshaun Watson's still a Texan. I know there's a lot there. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz struggled with confidence. He struggled with turnovers. And while I think he may be a little bit better than Luck, long term, I don't see this as a big improvement for the Colts.
Well, that's a really interesting one, and I will give you credit, Tannenbaum, because you were the one last year around this time who said the Steelers could wind up with the worst quarterback situation in their division. Everybody laughed at you, and no one is laughing so much right now. So, Hasselbeck, I'll give you the first shot to laugh at this if you want to. Do you see Wentz right now as being the fourth best quarterback in that division?
No, and look, listen, I'd argue that Ben Roethlisberger was not the worst quarterback in that division last year. You know, Joe Burrow would have been. I mean, when you look at the year Ben had, didn't end the way it wanted, but I think it was like 33 touchdowns and 10 picks. There's a lot of guys that would have taken that. Look, I look at that division. I understand what Mike's saying. That might be the case in 4 years. But when you look at it for this upcoming season, Trevor Lawrence in the first year in Jacksonville with that supporting cast versus Wentz and Indy with that supporting cast, no, I would take Wentz in that situation. In terms of Houston, listen, who knows what their situation is going to be? They may have a quarterback that refuses to show up. So, and again, I'll bring it back. It's not all about Wentz. Like in terms of teams, let's look at teams and how they're built. It's probably the best roster when you look at both sides of the ball in Indianapolis. So it's not about just which quarterback is better. It's the quarterback, you know, supported by the team. It's still a dependent position.
And Kimberly, let me come to you here, because I'm sure you talked to a lot of people over the weekend as people settled in with this deal that we knew was coming and finally got made. What is the overall reaction to the way this went down, Wentz to Indianapolis?
I think this is what everybody expected. This is a perfect situation for Carson Wentz. The key here is there will be an enormous amount of pressure on him. Like Matt's saying, Indy shouldn't make him do everything, but if you're Carson Wentz and you saw how things went down in Philly, your locker room presence was questioned, your play was questioned, whether you're a team leader was questioned, you're gonna wanna come into Indy and solidify yourself as the guy. Now, he's got Frank Reich. Is Frank Reich the key? Hopefully for Carson Wentz, it works out. Because if it doesn't work in Indy, a team that has a defense, a running game, all these pieces, and is just a quarterback away, if it doesn't work in Indy, I don't know where it works for Carson Wentz.
No, I completely agree. And we made the point last week here, and I said it on the radio. There is no player in the NFL who will be under more pressure next season than Carson Wentz. Historically, that's not been a good role for him. It doesn't mean that he can't do it. All right, Kimberly, let's run through the hurry up here. A bunch of other things, including we offer our congratulations to Patrick Mahomes. Why is that?
Well, Patrick Mahomes and his fiance Brittany Matthews welcomed their baby daughter, Sterling Sky. She was born yesterday. So congratulations to Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback, who is officially a girl dad. He joked during the Super Bowl that he wanted the baby to hold off a little bit until after the game. Well, she has done that.
Next up.
Moving on to Lamar Jackson. Now, is a contract extension on the horizon for Lamar? We think so. I've checked in and both sides have talked, but I'm told that the talks weren't anything substantive. But that doesn't mean that Lamar and the Ravens won't sit down and discuss a contract extension this season. Eric DaCosta, the GM, has already said we want to keep Lamar in Baltimore for a very, very long time. Now, we talk about Deshaun Watson. We're going to keep talking about him. When I ask people, you know, what's the deal with Watson, they say, why would the Texans trade him? You think about it. If you're Houston, if you give up a stud QB, you're going to want a stud QB in return. And look at the field. Who can do that? A couple teams. Jacksonville with the number one pick. The Jets, although we've heard from Schefter and Mortensen that that's not going to happen. And Miami. So if you're another team, you might have the draft picks, but do you have a stud QB to give the Houston Texans? I don't know.
Well, that's one of the questions. When you mentioned the piece about Schefter and Mort, they're talking about the role that Deshaun himself will play in this decision. He may not be so enthusiastic about going to the Jets, but to your point, yes, they do have a lot they can offer.
How could he not, Greeny? How could he not? Jets. You're Jets.
My fandom is probably the single best thing they have going for them right now, but that's a whole separate issue for another time. But Tim Hasselbeck, you were making an interesting point. Because I think we have talked about Deshaun Watson, and by we, I mean the larger we, everyone around the world of football, as though he is basically already a former Texan. But you were making the point in our meeting this morning, maybe there is a case to be made for them not trading him.
Well, listen, you would have to get a lot in return and look at the compensation for Matthew Stafford. You know, Watson is a younger, ascending player who's under contract for a while. And so if you're the Texans, look, it better be a king's ransom to move him. And I understand the bad blood, but there's a new regime there. There's a new GM. There's a new head coach. And I would be doing everything possible to try to salvage the relationship because when you really look at it, like it really comes down to one issue. He was upset about how it was communicated to him about his involvement in the hiring of the new GM and head coach. So if you can't get past that, then I think that's a problem. I think you need to try to get past that. And I would be really reluctant if I was Nick Caserio, if I was David Culley, in terms of moving on from Watson because he seems unhappy right now.
All right, so you're Nick Caserio now, Mike Tannenbaum. How are you handling this? You have continuously made the point on this show that with every day that goes by, they have a bigger and bigger problem. So there's whatever urgency you're feeling on that side, and then there's the hope that it doesn't ever go away on the other side. So how do you handle it?
Right. What's catastrophic for them is if they don't do something now, Greeny, and then they get into September and he doesn't show up, much what happened with Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville. So if I'm Nick Caserio, I sit down with Deshaun Watson, his agent. I try to work it out. If I can't, I cut my losses right now and maximize the compensation I should get. Because again, worst case scenario, we get into the season, you're trying to establish a new head coach in David Culley, you don't have the player, and now all of a sudden, you don't have anybody else behind him because you thought he was going to be his quarterback. That is the worst case scenario. And Greeny, there's another big intangible here. There's not going to be any free agent who has a choice that's going to go to Houston right now until this situation is clarified.
Yeah, so they have all sorts of things lined up against them. But Kimberly, you were making the point as we were talking earlier that if they call his bluff, and I put that in air quotes because I don't think most people think he's bluffing, but if they do, they really do put the ball in his court to the extent that he's got to do a lot of things this fall if he's still on that roster that would seem to be out of keeping with his personality.
Yeah, people that know Deshaun, they describe him, he's a good kid. That's the first thing they say. We've seen the work that he's done in the community. He was just doing stuff this weekend. You know, this is a guy that cares about the city of Houston, that cares about his teammates, a good locker room guy. So if you're the Houston Texans, that August, September, is he going to show up? That's the real key. I don't know if anyone expects that Deshaun will not show up because that seems so, quote, out of character. But if you're the Texans right now, you can say, okay, maybe we didn't hire the GM you wanted or the head coach, but what we have in David Culley is a guy who is respected around the league, an experienced guy, a guy that we brought in who we think can make you and this team better. And Nick Caserio, who may not have been your choice, but has been a coveted GM candidate for a long time. So if that's Houston can say, we have these pieces to make the situation better for you.
All right, we will see. As of right now, he doesn't seem to be willing to give them a chance. Maybe he will ultimately have no choice. We'll leave that there for the moment. Much more football as we go, but to the NBA action from the weekend, and the game of the weekend may have come last night. Game of the night, it's the Nets and the Clippers. Finals preview could be. We got Kawhi, we got James Harden. KD missed his fourth straight game. Pick it up in the fourth. Clippers down 11. Paul George, yes, from three. It's an 8-point game. Steve Ballmer loves it. Under seven to go. Nets are up six. James Harden, you can't give him any room. 37 for Harden, plus 11 boards, a 9-point lead. 4 minutes to go. Clippers down seven. George knocking one down from the corner. He had 34, but didn't play the final minutes because of a minutes restriction put on by Ty Lue. So there's that. 1 minute to go. Clippers down five. Lou Williams, yes, 2-point game. Kawhi would tie it on free throws. 15 seconds to go. Kyrie Irving, he had 28. Can't get this one to go, but look at DeAndre Jordan. There for the tip, and the Nets a 2-point lead. Now here's your ball game, 11 seconds left. Kawhi, down two, taking it to the hole. Hold everything, they call an offensive foul. Take another look. Kawhi wants a challenge, they don't have one. And so the call stands. Little bit of acting from Harden, maybe. Kawhi had 29, but he needed two more. Nets wind up winning it by a score of 112-108, continuing what has been a trend. The Nets against good teams have been spectacular. You see it. They're 12-4 against winning teams this year. That is the best winning percentage of that sort in the entire sport. And here to look back on the weekend in the NBA, there's my man Tim Legler, who gets up with us early today. I want to just start there quickly. Good call, bad call on the push-off there on Kawhi Leonard at the end of the game.
Well, there's no question he extended his arm, but here's why I don't really like the call. You're talking about two of the strongest guys in the league, and if you're going to allow James Harden's forearm to get into Kawhi Leonard's shoulder as he's driving, then how can you call that foul? I think that's where it starts to get dicey for me, because a guy as strong as James Harden, you know, you put that kind of pressure with your forearm, that could be enough to throw Kawhi Leonard off when he goes to leave the ground and go finish that play if he doesn't give some resistance back in the other direction. And that's why I don't really like the call. There's no doubt Kawhi Leonard extended his arm. I just think the contact was initiated by James Harden, you know, one dribble before that. And if you let that go, then maybe you just play on.
It would have been interesting to see if they had the challenge, how that would have gone. They didn't, and so the Nets get themselves another win. Meanwhile, as we go around the weekend, two things happened Friday night that I wanted to get into with you. One of them, Joel Embiid scored 50 points in a game against the Bulls. Folks might have seen it. It was on ESPN. And so I would ask you right now, Joel Embiid is second in the league in scoring, and he's averaging 11 rebounds a game. Is he your leading candidate for MVP?
Yeah, he's my MVP to this point, particularly when I take it just to look at their personnel and their offense. He is the identity for that team. Best record in the Eastern Conference. And when you look at a super team like Brooklyn with that kind of talent, you look at some of these other teams that have really been disappointing and underachieved. And then you've got Philly sitting at the top of the standings. He has completely changed his approach to the game. And whether that's the coaching staff, which he tried to deflect from the other day when asked about it, he put it more on himself. Personal accountability, got himself in better shape. He's more determined to play in the post. That is now their identity late in games, when in the past you may have seen Joel Embiid drift around on the perimeter, be a guy that would take shots you wanted him to take defensively. That's just not the case anymore. He is absolutely dominating anybody that is put in front of him, and his approach and his desire to be great and to be thrust into the MVP conversation, for me, puts him at the head of the pack. And Greeny, he was already there for me prior to Friday night, but sometimes a player needs a signature game like that to thrust himself into the national conversation, and a 50-point game will do that. So I think Joel Embiid absolutely is right there in the mix, and for me, he would be at the top of the list.
Yeah, me too. And again, if he wins it, he'd be the first center to win it since Shaq in the year 2000. One more thing. It also happened on Friday night. A fellow by the name of Anthony Edwards did this. Oh, he goes up and throws it down. Give me a sense, Tim Legler, of in-game dunks you have seen. Give me any that you like better than that, because this one broke the internet on Friday night.
I tell you what, you know, these are tough because it's all such a personal opinion. But I go for those ones that flat out made me jump out of my seat when I saw them. And it always helps if you see it live, I think. When you see it on replay and you weren't really in the moment, it does take a little bit away. And I did not see the Anthony Edwards dunk live. So I look at a couple. You know, Vince Carter on Alonzo Mourning, for me, I remember working that night, watching that game. And Vince Carter hitting him and then extending the ball back away from him and throwing it down. And the fact that that is Alonzo Mourning, one of the greatest defensive centers this league has ever seen, for me, that one probably stands at the top. I also love the DeAndre Jordan lob of Brandon Knight. I mean, this one stood out to me, Greeny, as well, because when you're going to catch a lob in the air, to a certain extent, you know, you feel a little bit more out of control because you've got to go get that ball wherever it is and throw it down. And to have someone slide under you and to have no regard. And then the Blake Griffin one on Timofey Mozgov, the reason I like this one, I always say, it's like Mozgov went to the hair salon. He gets a condition, a wash. He gets a gel put in at the end, maybe even a blow dry in there. And he leaves the salon. You know, hair looks great, but his ego is destroyed. And that's the interesting thing about that Blake Griffin one on Mozgov for me.
I'm with you. It is spectacular. I would vote for DeAndre Jordan, but you can't go wrong with any legs. We'll see in a little bit. Thank you very much for getting up here. We're just getting started for this week. Coming up, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff. They both signed huge extensions after their third seasons. You'll hear why our crew says the Browns need to think twice before they do the same with their quarterback. Plus, a Cowboys legend is asking the question all Cowboys fans are about Dak. You'll hear the question and why the answer means everything as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Bolt 24, real advanced hydration from the makers of Gatorade. And over the weekend, top-ranked boxing and everyone talking about this Oscar Valdez knockout. Mike Tannenbaum, what do you think?
Greeny, I saw this live. The only thing I can think of is we got somebody in the concussion protocol. Boy, flash knockdown. He's going to be unavailable for the coming weeks, maybe months.
Quite the moment there. Oscar Valdez with the knockout. As we continue tomorrow, a very important day for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. We'll explain what will happen and why it probably shouldn't.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and for Baker Mayfield, it was a sensational year coming off of what had been some questionable seasons to begin with. His rookie year in 2018 threw 27 touchdowns, which was a rookie record at the time. 2019, everything went wrong for the Browns and their quarterback. They went 6-10. He threw 21 picks. So it was up, it was down, and then it was way back up this past year. Mayfield flipping the script. The Browns going to the playoffs for the first time since 2002. They won their first playoff game since 1994, and that creates an interesting decision the Browns have to make, because Baker Mayfield is now in the exact same spot, at least in the trajectory of his career, that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were. Each of them, after their third seasons, got huge contract extensions. And we all know that Goff has subsequently been traded to the Lions, and Wentz got benched and is now on the Indianapolis Colts. And so the question is, if you're the Cleveland Browns, is this a good time to extend the quarterback long term? Mike Tannenbaum is my general manager. I come back to you. If you're the man making that decision, are you giving the big deal to Baker Mayfield right now?
I am not. for a couple of reasons. First of all, he's under contract for this year for roughly around $10 million. You exercise the option, and again, the cap is going down for next year, so call that around $22 million, and then you can franchise him the year after. Greeny, it's just what we had talked about a couple years ago with Zeke Elliott because he was a first-round pick. You have that extra year, so it's roughly about $69 million over 3 years, and Baker Mayfield has a skill set that is replaceable. When you think about guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, those are much harder players to replace, so pay as you go. You don't have to take the risk of the guaranteed money like they did with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. And if you're Cleveland, if he ever graduates down the road, you could replace the skill set a lot easier than Buffalo ever could with Josh Allen.
I might want to push back on that, but first let me go to Tim and see if he agrees. What do you think, Tim Hasselbeck?
Yeah, I think I generally agree with Mike's premise of having patience with the situation. The thing I would argue against is this. Under Kevin Stefanski's leadership, Baker Mayfield is going to improve. You know, he hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer yet in his career because the situation in Cleveland had been a disaster. Go look at what Kirk Cousins did in Minnesota with Kevin Stefanski there. You know, he's over 4,000 yards. He's somewhere between 26 and 30 touchdowns and 10 or fewer interceptions. He's completing about 70% of his passes. That's what Baker Mayfield can do. So Baker's numbers, like they were this past year, were up from his previous 2 years. They will be up again. He's only going to improve, and then at that point, Baker then becomes more expensive. So I actually think you can argue that you sign Baker now before he's put up numbers in, that are similar to other guys that are getting these big contracts. Maybe get Baker under a good deal because you feel like you can build around him because of your leadership in the organization.
I understand that completely, but on some level, I feel like you're making Mike's point for him, which is that it's the coach who's really the reason that he's doing that, and if so, then maybe a lot of other players you could put in that same situation and do it.
But Greeny, they would have to be available, and so you're taking the risk that they're available. Maybe the Ryan Tannehill player that you want to, you know, release him or replace him with when that time comes because you've delayed it on him, he might not be there. And so that's the risk that you're taking. I'm not disagreeing with Mike that it's a replaceable skill set in comparison to Lamar or Josh Allen, but I would also argue that his skill set as compared to somebody as, say, Kirk Cousins, is in fact better. So look, I think that you're hoping that somebody is available to replace him with, and I don't think that that's absolutely a given.
And so Mike T, quickly, but just to come back, go ahead, Mike, go.
Yeah, I made the same mistake with Mark Sanchez. We started off 4 road playoff wins. We gave him a massive extension. It didn't work out.
Ooh,
and the inverse of what Tim's saying
we know, Mike.
Thanks, Kimberly. Thought we were better teammates than that, huh?
Yeah,
but so, the other issue is
it was 3 years, $40 million. There's nothing wrong with that now.
Yeah, Tannenbaum was the GM of the Jets, and Kimberly was a beat reporter covering the team for Newsday, and I was just sitting here being miserable about the entire thing, to be honest with you. Kimberly, let me finish it up with you on this, if we could, quickly, because anytime we start going back to the Jets thing, I have to move on. Kimberly, the question is, when should we expect, if there are going to be these conversations with Baker Mayfield and the Browns this offseason, when would they take place?
Yeah, I've asked around, Greeny. Look, around now, combine time is when you would sit down and talk about, both sides would sit down and discuss the timeline. When are we going to come back to the table and really sit down and go over numbers? But the talks don't really heat up until May, the summer. So as far as when we'd actually get deals done, it's a little later. But teams already know heading into free agency and the draft, if this is a guy we want to extend, and they can allocate and set aside, okay, this much money we think will go to that QB.
Yeah, look, they have, because he was a first-round pick, unlike Dak Prescott, for example, who was not, they have another year. They have a fifth year they can play with, plus the franchise tag. It'll be fascinating to see what they do. Speaking of Dak Prescott, this is a very, very big week for his situation as the Cowboys continue to have a huge decision to make. Sign him to a multi-year deal, franchise tag him again, or we'll see where the whole thing winds up going. Cowboys legend Drew Pearson offered these words of warning over the weekend.
Where do you go if you don't sign Dak? And if you let him go, especially if you let him play under the franchise tag this season, and you don't sign him anywhere along the line, to a long-term contract, Dak ain't going to be here after that. Dak has a tremendous influence in that locker room. He is the leader. He sets the pace, much like Roger Staubach set the pace for us. That's what Dak's real value is.
Okay, so there's Drew Pearson saying all the things that have been said about Dak repeatedly. So everyone seems to be in agreement on that. Kimberly, tell everybody who doesn't know why this is such an important week for this entire story.
Yeah, the saga's been going on forever, it feels like, Greeny. But tomorrow starts that 15-day period where teams can designate franchise guys and transition guys. So we assume this is likely that the Cowboys are going to franchise Dak for a second year. The difference is now it's going to cost more than $37 million with him on the tag.
So, Mike Tannenbaum, again, I come back to you. Take us through the mechanics of this. What will we see when people wake up with us on Get Up one day in the next 2 weeks? What will they see? Will they definitively see Dak Prescott has been offered the franchise tag by the Cowboys? And if so, what does that mean?
Yes, they will designate him as their franchise player starting as early as tomorrow over the next 15 days. And simultaneously, they'll be negotiating a contract. And there is a sense of urgency, Greeny, because, again, the cap is going down because of the pandemic. So if you're Jerry Jones, you want as much room as possible. So you wanted to get him signed anyway, but now you have even more reason to get that cap number down from $37 million, as Kimberly alluded to. So they're going to put the tag on him, and they're going to get a room with him and his agent and try to get a long-term deal done finally and get this resolved and lower the cap number, which will help them this year.
Well, this would be a very easy process for Jerry Jones if he had the ability to turn the calendar back 2 years. Short of that, I'm not exactly sure how he handles this. Tim Hasselbeck, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. This basically, dragging or this hesitation by the Cowboys has cost them a ton of money. Dak Prescott, had been the biggest bargain in sports. I mean, he really had been. And, back when Jared Goff and Carson Wentz got their deals, it would have been really easy at that point because you had more evidence of the type of player and leader that Dak Prescott was at that point. They should have done the deal then. You could have made the argument it was Goff and Wentz's deal plus a dollar. Now it's going to be significantly more, and that comes after, he made $31 million a year ago. So, yeah, dragging their feet, they have cost themselves a lot of money, and I think the way that Dak Prescott has handled this gives you even more reason to want to pay the guy because he's been nothing but a true pro.
He has. He's been spectacular. But he has not given anyone any indication, Mike T, that he's going to take anything less than exactly what he wants. And again, there may never have been a player in NFL history who has the leverage he has right now. So how do you expect this to turn out?
Yeah, Greeny, you're making a great point. And leverage can manifest itself a number of ways. It could be total guaranteed dollars, but it could also be the length of the contract, which I think is what he's looking for, where maybe he only signs a 3-year extension and then gets another bite of the apple when the bigger TV deal kicks in, gambling revenue. So he has enormous leverage, years, guarantees, the amount of money. So I think this is going to be a fascinating dynamic, and there's a tremendous sense of urgency if you're the Cowboys. You have 15 days to lower that cap number because, again, with the cap going down, $37 million is going to stop progress from them getting a number of other things they have to get done. So I'm fascinated to see Jerry Jones operate without leverage.
And so, Kimberly, I've been asking this question for 2 years. Does the sense you get from people around the league that they will work out a deal here in time to keep all of that from happening?
Greeny. Who knows? Honestly, who knows? Because really the issue was years. Dak wanted less years and he wants to hit the market again. So will the years be the sticking point again, or will Dak and will the Cowboys concede and say, sure, take 4 years and we're good? At this point, they really need to just get it done.
Ed Werder said on KJZ Radio last week he thinks that what Dak wants is 3 years, $40 million a year. We'll see if that is where the whole thing winds up. We are just getting rolling here as we continue to get up with you this morning. More football at number two. That's really where the draft begins. Are the Jets going to take Zach Wilson? And if so, what does that mean for everyone's future? We're talking about it right after this. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We have got another ACC Big 12 Big Monday doubleheader for you on ESPN and the app tonight. Syracuse and Duke at Cameron Indoor at 7. Then to Stillwater for number 15, Texas Tech, taking on Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State. All the action tonight right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, all the action has been in the NFL. By now you know it. Carson Wentz arriving in Indy on Friday, a day after being traded from the Eagles to the Colts. It was, to say the least, a bumpy season in Philly. But he will now reunite with his old offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, who was there for the very best of Carson Wentz's seasons. And look who has made his way across the hall. The K from KJZ. Keyshawn Johnson has walked over here during a quick break up coast to coast on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Key, as always.
No problem, Greeny.
What is your sense of this? I've been asking the guys today. With Carson Wentz in place, backward, he gets exactly what he needed. How good is he and are they going to be in Indy?
Well, hopefully he's not going to Indy fragile from Philadelphia. He's put that, left that in Philly, took it out of his mind, Greeny. If he did that, then I think he'll be all right with Frank Reich. You got to look at what they have in Indianapolis for him. They got a young nucleus on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line was built for Andrew Luck. Now it's about Carson Wentz. We all know what the defense is about. So he has a ready-made team that Phillip Rivers took to the playoffs. If he can get back to form when he was 11-2 before he tore his ACL against the Rams, this team could be in a deep position with Buffalo and Kansas City and Baltimore looking at going to the Super Bowl in L.A.
I agree. But the first thing you said is the big question, which is how confident do you feel in his psyche? How confident do you feel in his ability as a teammate? That people refer to him as stubborn and things like that. I can't decide why you're laughing. What just happened in this room?
Literally, I'm sorry. Behind the backdrop,
yes.
Bird
yes.
flew and it made me jump.
That's oh, I see.
I started laughing.
Well, no, that's Alfred Hitchcock directs our show every now and again. It happens from time
to
time. Scared Keyshawn. Okay, but one way or another, let me bring you back if I can. So you got the questions about the psyche. You got the questions about his stubbornness
whatever.
Or whatever else it might be. Now you're T.Y. Hilton. You've been that guy. Yeah. You've been a star receiver. Yeah. And this guy just came in as my quarterback. What questions do you have and how do they get answered?
They get answered by me sitting down and just knowing him, practicing with him, having a feel for him. Yeah, every player is going to have somebody say something about them, both positively and negatively. That's the world that we live in as professional athletes, especially inside locker rooms. Some people look at you because of your body, your demeanor, how you carry yourself. They say, oh, this guy. And the other guys are like, man, it's the best dude you've ever been around. So I'll know when I'm in that locker room with him. If I'm T.Y. Hilton and I go back there, I'm not worried about it. Frank Reich said he's okay, then he's okay.
Well, look, the best seasons of your career came with Vinny Testaverde as your quarterback, a guy who had not had great success in previous stops and then found it. And he was a lot older than Carson Wentz is now. So your sense is they will be good. Then how about the team that he leaves behind? Are they set? We're about to have our draft expert in a moment. Are they set at quarterback in your mind with Jalen Hurts, or should they be drafting somebody at 6?
It would be hard for me to draft a quarterback at 6. When you got 2 young quarterbacks sitting in a room, or maybe even 3, depending on who they go get off the practice squad or whatever, let's assume that room is young. That's a disaster. That's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
2 young quarterbacks at the front in the front of the room. No, what you want to do with that pick at 6 is you want to move it around, see where you can maybe bamboozle somebody, pick up some more draft capital, and go sign a veteran guy that could be in the room with Jalen Hurts and bring him along. Not a veteran guy that's so old and dusty, but a veteran guy like a Teddy Bridgewater, for instance, that it may be out there and available. You go and you sign him, you bring him in that room to teach Jalen Hurts how to be a quarterback in the National Football League, how to be a professional, not just a position, but a professional, how to go about understanding how to watch film, understanding coverages, be like almost like a coach, but as a player as well.
Yeah, I mean, not because it is his name, but be sort of the bridge. He'd put the bridge in Bridgewater under those
circumstances. Like that, though, right?
Yeah, fair enough. All right, again, Zubin and Jay Will
are
waiting.
Wait, man, I need you to sign this for me, though.
Okay.
I need you to, your autograph right there.
What do we got here?
Just your name. I just got, because I got to give it to Zubin. It's for Zubin.
Why is that?
Well, because it's an inside little deal.
Okay, fair enough. By the way, wait, don't go yet. We have the bird video. For those who did, you couldn't see it, but I'm told that we can show it. Cindy says that we have it. So just so you know what it was that distracted Keyshawn so much, let's take a look, if we can, Cindy, and go ahead and roll that at what it was that made him so freaked out. Do we have that? Someone tell me if we're going to have it. We do have it. It's coming, is what I'm being told. So this is going to be spectacular. This is the video that threw Keyshawn so badly. And now you're going to see what it was that Keyshawn...
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, my God. Does that happen all the time?
Yes, it happens all the time. It's a window. Birds fly by.
Oh, but it scared me, man. I thought it was in the studio. I'm sure they'll be running that on ESPN later tonight.
Thank you very much. Keyshawn Johnson, great to see you back across the hallway. It is always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll try and keep all the birds out of the way if we can. Now, back to the quarterback carousel, because one of the many variables impacting this year's circumstances this offseason is the upcoming quarterback draft class. Only three times in the common draft era have at least five quarterbacks been taken in the first round, and it could very well happen again. In fact, the overwhelming expectation is that it will. Our Todd McShay sees five quarterbacks going in the first round of the upcoming draft, including four in the very first four picks, with Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields following Trevor Lawrence, and then Mac Jones going next at number 12. And so our brand new draft expert, who we first introduced to you here on this program on Friday, is Matt Miller, and he jumps in with us along with Mike T here. And so, Matt, I want to start at number two, because we all know what number one is going to be. So it feels as though the Jets sort of control the draft at number two. What exactly are the options as you see them?
Yeah, Grinny, great news for your Jets is that they are the domino that will fall first in this class. And I think where we're at right now is they have to evaluate not only this quarterback class of Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, they also have to evaluate the market for that number two pick, because that is an option here. Sam Darnold is still under contract, even though it seems like all of Gangrene wants to run this guy out of town. He's still there. So Joe Douglas, the GM, could say, you know what? Let's give Sam Darnold somebody other than Adam Gase. Maybe we get that Ryan Tannehill bump with Gase out of the way, and let's auction that number two overall pick to go get us some playmakers. We also have pick number 23 overall, thanks to the trade of Jamal Adams. So they have a lot of assets where they have to evaluate not only these quarterbacks in this class, but also what is the value of that number two pick? Because the better option might be, let's build this roster around Sam Darnold. And then if it doesn't work, then you could go into next year's class looking for another quarterback.
That's one way of looking at it. So, Mike T, really, on some level, it might come down to, do we want to go forward with Sam Darnold, or do we want Zach Wilson to be our quarterback? He has emerged, it feels like, as the clear number two quarterback in this class. So I know you've put together some tape. How do you compare them?
Yeah, Greeny, 31.4 miles away right now, Joe Douglas is sitting in his office. Here's the process he's going through that Matt Miller just described about comparing players. Let's start with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has struggled with consistency. Off-platform throws has been something he's struggled with. He has 50 touchdowns and 46 turnovers. Now compare that to Zach Wilson. Look at him step up in the pocket. Look at the accuracy where his receiver can make a play with the ball. Here's another play with Sam. He tries to get the ball down the field. He's not accurate. Compare that to Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, look at this arm strength and accuracy. Tight window throw, that's an NFL throw. So that's what Joe Douglas is doing right now. Sam Darnold back-to-back with Zach Wilson. And I think when you go through that process, Greeny, at the end of the day, they're going to pick Zach Wilson as the better player. compared to what Sam Darnold's done over the last 3 years.
Right, and in fairness, and I know you know this, but I want to say it to the audience, you could have picked out good plays of Sam there as well. You were demonstrating the inconsistency that he has shown so far and being as turnover prone as he has been, which clearly has been his problem going back to college. So I'll ask it to you, Matt. If you were evaluating these players, where would you have them ranked? Zach Wilson versus Sam Darnold right now, just where they sit in their current stage of development, who is the more attractive prospect?
Yeah, I'm with Mike T. I think it is Zach Wilson. And some of that is the upside. We've seen it with Sam Darnold. I had an NFL general manager tell me once, we don't bet on guys we've seen fail. We've seen Sam Darnold fail, unfortunately. So you go with the upside of Zach Wilson. And I'm saying this to somebody, I had Sam Darnold as the number one quarterback in the 2018 draft class. It obviously didn't work out. And so I do think it's time. Let's move on to somebody that fits more of where the game is going. The Jets have a bright young left tackle. They've got some young receivers they're excited about. Let's give them a quarterback they can believe in. Zach Wilson, he can make all those throws off platform, on rhythm, off rhythm, throwing the YOLO balls down the field to give his receivers a chance to make plays. That exciting type of football is something that New York wants. And it's something that these Jets fans, including you, deserve, Greeny.
I get it. I'm going to leave it there for the moment, but there's more than that that needs to be said about what has happened these last 3 years, and we will. Tannenbaum, I'm fighting you as this continues. Matt, thank you. We'll have much more as we go. Huge hour still to come here. Get up on ESPN. Carson Wentz has a new home. Does he have new expectations as well? Why one of our experts says he just needs to be good and not great, and we'll explain why that's so important. Next, get up on ESPN.